الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره صدق الله مولانا العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من نفس عن مؤمن كربة من كرب الدنيا نفس الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة والله في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون أخيه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته
My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam Our objective is to attain Jannah and the pleasure of Allah Is that not the case? Certainly But what we need to understand is that There are many roads to Jannah There are many actions that can take us to our objective. There are many paths that will take us to that objective. There are not just one single path that will take us to that objective. Like someone who intends to reach a particular destination. From here you want to travel to some strand. There are different ways. You can go by the highway, you can go by a town, but you will reach your destination. And like that, in our deen, there are many doors that take us towards goodness. And sometimes there are small actions which we think are insignificant. But those are actions that by Allah may draw us abundance of reward. There's a verse that was revealed of the Noble Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, describing His chosen servants, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, My chosen servants are those who feed the poor. يُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ To the poor, give food to the poor. عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ Despite having the need for that food. They give the orphan, they give the widow, they give the prisoner food. Despite them having the love for the food and their own need. Now that is a great sacrifice. That if you can part with your wealth, if you have that need for the wealth, that is something really great. So when this verse was revealed, there were certain individuals amongst the Sahaba who understood from this verse that you have to make a great sacrifice and only then will Allah accept it. So when they would be in their home, then a beggar would come and knock on the door. And all they had in the home was maybe a piece of bread or some nuts. Nothing fancy, nothing that you can feel proud of to give. I'm giving you this. So instead of giving that little out, they would say, nothing today. We don't have anything. Go away, come back another day. So they would repel the beggar thinking that we don't have anything to give the person. And because of that, many people were then repelled from the door. On the other hand, there was another group who were under the misunderstanding that إِنَّمَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ النَّارَ عَلَى الْكَبَائِرِ That Allah has warned us of the fire of Jahannam if we commit major sins like zina or it is you kill someone or you commit shirk, yeah, then you go to fire. But small things like speaking bad about someone or carrying a tail here, speaking a small white lie there, that's small things, that is not major, we won't be taken to task for that. And with these two conflicting mindsets, where one mindset was that only major sins are what we'll be taken to task for, and the other is that we need to do something very big to get reward. These were the two misunderstandings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse saying, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ Whoever does a good deed, equivalent to an atom, equivalent to an iota, will be rewarded. Whoever does an evil deed, even if it is minute, equivalent to an iota, so that person may be punished by Allah Rabbul Izzah. So sometimes we think of things as big things. This is something major. But by Allah it has no weight. And sometimes you think of this as minor. But by Allah that has a great position and a great standing. And one of the things that we can do to gain that special mercy of Allah is to help other people, to assist people. Very often we think, you know, you have to be wealthy to be generous. You need to have lots of money to be generous. That's not the case. Generosity is generosity of the soul. That you have a generous heart. That you share what you have and you share of yourself. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says that Sayyidina Abu Bakr, the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had this regular habit that early in the morning after Fajr, he would immediately leave the Medina to Malora and he would go to the outskirts. And it was a regular habit, and he was intrigued. What is the Khalifa up to? Where is he going every day? So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu decided that he's going to follow him one day. So he stood in the distance and he watched. As Sayyidina Abu Bakr walked, he walked far behind and he watched. And going far into the desert. And he remained at a distance and couldn't see him. Eventually he saw this some sort of a dwelling, a tent, in the middle of nowhere. So he watched Sayyidina Abu Bakr come close to the tent and he was behind a rock. And then Sayyidina Abu Bakr went into the tent and remained there for a while. And after that he came out of the tent and he went away. Sayyidina Umar was now intrigued and he went to the same tent and he asked them, that who is it that just came here now? So they said, just the ordinary Muslim. And he asked them, why did he come here? So that man just comes here to help me. What he does is, it was an old lady who was blind. He comes here to help me. He needs the dough. He cleans my house. And he assists me with whatever chores. And then he goes away. And so the Umar was dumbfounded. And here he is, the Khalifa. The highest position, you think of who we have as a president or, you know, the highest position in our land, is the Khalifa of the highest position, and he's going to assist an ordinary person, and that person doesn't even know that he's the Khalifa. He doesn't even know it's a Khalifa. She doesn't know. She thinks it's just an ordinary person. Yet he goes secretly and comes to assist this person. And said, Umar said, oh, he addressed himself and said, were you checking up on the Amirul Mu'mineen? Were you checking up on the Khalifa? And he said, oh, Khalifa tul Muslimin, you have left, all those will come after you exhausted. Then who is there who will be able to follow this great example? That he was totally selfless, in the sense that he was giving of himself. He was physically helping the poor people. And he was doing it in such a way that people were not aware who it was. they didn't know who it was. Like what the great grandson of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Zainul Abideen, Ali bin Hussein, the grandson of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, it is said that at the time when they put his janazah down and they're doing the ghusl, they find that there's marks on his body. And people are astounded, but he wasn't a laborer. He never used to go out in the field and carry things on his back and, you know, take things from one place. What is this marks on his body? And they then are able to gauge it. This is from carrying things. And then after that, when he passes away, there are more than 80 families in the city who are accustomed to receiving a daily stipend, a daily provision. In the dead of the night, someone would leave some groceries, some items of food at their door and it would disappear. They didn't know who it was, but it would be there daily in the middle of the night. And then it turns out, the people were able to put two and two, that here it is, the great-grandson of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who has these marks, and when he passes away, that provision stops coming to them. They realize that it was him who, in the dead of the night, would go around putting those food parcels in the doors of people, and nobody knew who it was. These days, what has charity become, you know? When we give, even if we give to the masjid, or we give to a foundation, or we give to somewhere, then we say, you know, I've given so much, now I must have some say. I must be able to call the shots. If I sponsor, then I can tell people what I want, how it must be like, how I want. No, if we give something to the masjid, then we feel we have the right to put on the aircon. It must be on the temperature that I like it to be. Or when I want the lights on, then I have the say to do that. That is our human nature, that we feel I've done something, I need to get something back. If we do something for someone, then we do it in such a way that we think, you know, that person needs help, but you never know when I may need him. Because, you know, he's working in the Nelson Mandela Bay municipality. Maybe I have a problem with my rates or the lights. I don't know when I'll need a good turn from him. So that's why he needs something today, but let me help him because I don't know when I will need him. And we keep score. The person, when we do for someone, if someone invites us or someone doesn't invite us for their daughter's wedding, then we say, no, that person didn't invite me, I won't invite them. Why don't you invite? Because they didn't invite me. So we keep score. Someone gave you a present, so when you got married, they gave you a blanket. So when his son gets married, you give him a blanket also. It's like you're leveling the planes. Everything has to be proportionate. But that is not what we're talking about. If you want to achieve genuine joy in your life, if you want the real fulfillment, then you should give to those who cannot give you anything back. Give to that people when there's no hope, that I don't have any expectation of any reciprocation. Money cannot give you wealth. It cannot give you happiness. There are many people who have abundance of wealth, more than what any one of us in this masjid may have. But they are on antidepressants. They are depressed. They are have anxiety. Some of them are lonely. Some of them go to the extent of killing themselves. Money cannot buy you happiness. But what money can do for you is when you share that money selflessly with whatever you have. And as I said, you don't have to be wealthy to be generous. You share that money with people without any desire that I will get anything back whatsoever. I'm doing it solely for the benefit of helping this person for the sake of Allah. Then that is when you will experience within yourself such a fulfillment, such a happiness, such a joy that you will never experience in any other circumstances. People these days, they give to organizations with the intention that, you know, what marketing will we get? Where will our logo be? What sort of exposure will we get? That shouldn't be our objective. Charity and assistance in this era has become an advertising tool. That should never be the case. Do it solely for the sake of Allah. And you will find, there were two youngsters one day, and they were out in the field. And there was an old man who was coming, and they saw the man's shoes at a place. So the one youngster actually said to him, to the other one, that, you know what? Why don't we hide his shoes away, then we hide in the bush and we see what will be his reaction. And we'll laugh and we'll, you know, enjoy the moment of troubling this man. And people get fun out of causing harm to others, teasing them and tricking them in some way or the other. So the other one said, no, let it not be that we harm the person. Rather, let's see what money you have in your pocket and what I have in my pocket, and we put it in his shoes. And let's watch him to see what reaction is if when he sees that. So each one had perhaps some gold or silver coins, whatever it was, and they put it in the shoes. And when this old, you know, very frail laborer came from where he was working in the field, and as he makes his way and he puts his foot in the shoe, and then he feels something, and he puts his hand in and he finds a gold coin. And he gets so happy, he's elated. He starts making dua, and he starts talking about his own difficult situation, that he has a wife at home that is in need, and that his children, you know, there's nothing to feed them. And he continues making dua, and he makes a sajda shukr. And he puts his other foot in, and he sees more, and he makes more dua. And then these two young boys standing there, and the one asks the other one, is this not better than having to trick him and to make fool of him and to make him, the butt of our joke? So bringing the joy to others will be far more fulfilling than it will bring you greater joy than anything else in this world. Sometimes, you know, we become so selfish with ourselves or our wealth that we do not want to part with it under any circumstances. So there was this local charity that was looking for donation. So they looked at the phone directory and they came across one person who was a banker. And they phoned him up and they said that, you know, our research has shown that you have earned 500,000 rand for the last year and you haven't given anything to your local charity, would you not like to contribute to your local charity? So the CEO of the charity company is on the phone with this banker. So the banker responds and says, oh, okay. Has your research shown that my sister's husband has passed away and he has left behind a wife without any kids and any pension farm or anything and left him totally destitute? Has your research shown that? So now the CEO of this charity company gets a bit scared. He says, no, it hasn't. And he says that, has your research shown that I have a mother who is aged and no one to care for? Says, no, it hasn't. Now it's even more defensive. Says, has your research shown that I have a brother who is blind and he has no source of income? Even more on the back foot, the CEO says, no, it hasn't at all. So the banker tells him that, I haven't given my sister or my sister or my mother or my brother anything. What makes you think I'll give you? But that is how stingy we've become. That, we only give in those instances perhaps when we feel we are in a position to part of our wealth. Maybe at times when we make up our mind we're going to give something. But the real challenge is to raise up to the occasion when someone is genuinely in need and you assist someone under those circumstances. When someone comes to you with a need, at that time to help someone, that would be far more rewarding. Allah Rabbul Izzah, in fact the hadith says that مَنْ نَفَّسَ عَنْ مُؤْمِنِينَ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرَبِ الدُّنْيَا نَفَّسَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرْبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. If you help someone who is in difficulty in this world, Allah will remove from you the difficulties of the day of Qiyamah. And then the second part of the hadith, وَاللَّهُ فِي أَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ. Allah remains with you. مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي أَوْنِ أَخِي. As long as you are helping your next Muslim brother, whatever it is that they need to help them, as long as you are helping them, Allah is with you. Subhanallah. As long if it is a physical way that you go out, or if it is that the person needs you perhaps to intercede, the person needs you to put a good word in, the person needs you to assist with something, as long as you are doing that, Allah is with you. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu was once sitting in itikaf in Masjid Nabawi. And while he was sitting in itikaf, and we all know that when you're in sunnah itikaf in the month of Ramadan, then you remain in the masjid for 10 days flat, you don't leave the masjid. And while he was in itikaf, during the days of itikaf, everyone knew he was in itikaf, and then suddenly someone sees him in the marketplace and people are astounded. But you in itikaf, what is it that, how come you suddenly out of the itikaf? And he then responds and he says, I heard the Messenger said, لَأَنْ أَمْشِيَ مَأَ أَخِي فِي حَاجَتِهِ. For me to go out and to assist my fellow Muslim brother with his need until I fulfill that need for him is better than sitting in itikaf in Masjid Nabawi for 1 month. For 1 month in its entirety, the reward is better to assist someone. So we should never, think that you need abundance of wealth to help people. When you help someone, help that person solely for the sake of Allah without any desire of recognition or reciprocation. Even don't wait for the jazakallah or the thank you. Very often we help people, we say, that person is so bad. I helped him and he can't even acknowledge me. He doesn't even say jazakallah. He pretends like I did nothing for him. So what happens is, when you do that, when you help people waiting for the jazakallah, and people by nature are unappreciative. Allah Rabbul Izzah says in the Quran that, man is so unappreciative that he doesn't recognize his creator. Where will he recognize his muhsin and those who do good to him? So don't do it for the sake of the jazakallah or the appreciation. Do it for the sake that I will attain within myself such a joy and fulfillment that is unprecedented, that nothing can equate to that. That is your motivation to helping people. Do it for the sake of Allah alone, and that is when you will find that fulfillment and that appreciation within yourself. May Allah give us the ability to explore every avenue towards goodness. Let us never underestimate any good deed. We do not know which single deed it is of ours that will warrant our entry into Jannah. There are people who did good deeds for the entire life, but they uttered one statement which destroyed everything. And then we know the famous story of the prostitute who had given water to a dog that was panting with thirst. And that became the means of entry into Jannah for that lady. So we do not know how Allah will judge us. We think of certain actions as big and some as small, but what may be considered in our eyes is a small action, but Allah, it may be a big action, and that may very be the action that results in our entry into Jannah.